Somebody once said that Jesus Christ came into the world not just to preach the gospel, but that there would be a gospel to preach. And there's a profound difference. And this morning, I just want us to think a little bit about some of the reactions to the whole Easter story. And David, we can just bring up and just, I'm not going to go through all of these, but do notice what I've written here, that there were religious people who refused to believe in Christ. The ruler Herod, he misunderstood Christ. The governor Pilate washed his hands of Christ. The crowd were in two minds about Christ. And the dying thief entrusted himself to Christ. And just for a moment, I want you to think about how in every generation, in our generation, in every generation, this same thing happens. There are people, some of them very, very religious people, and you get them in the kingdom of Mourn just like anywhere else. They may be very religious, but actually in a peculiar and strange way, they have not yet come into an experience of Jesus in their hearts. I wonder, is there a religious person here this morning? But you have never really experienced in your heart of hearts the joy and the wonder of sins forgiven and the glory of the resurrection. There are people like Herod who misunderstand Jesus. Herod wanted Jesus to be something quite different from what he was. And there are people today who think of Jesus as some great political leader, some great social worker, some great magician. But they fail to see that he was the Son of God, the Savior of sinners. Maybe there's someone here today and you misunderstand Jesus. And if you misunderstand Jesus, you misunderstand the whole message. Or maybe you're like Pilate, washing your hands of Jesus. There are people today, I meet them sometimes, and they say, you know, it's very interesting what you say, but if I was to come to Jesus, it would cost too much. I would lose my friends. I would lose the lifestyle that I'm enjoying. I would lose all of these things that I am enjoying in life, and I'm just going to wash my hands of the whole thing. Wonder you like that this morning, washing your hands of Jesus because you feel that he's going to in some way spoil your life. He's going to hinder your life when all the time Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, life in all its abundance. And then there were the crowds who were in two minds about Jesus. Are you in two minds this morning? Maybe you're here and you come sometimes and you hear the message and it makes you think, but by the time Sunday afternoon comes, you've forgotten most of it. Maybe somebody speaks to you and you say, well, you know, maybe there is something in this Christianity business, but a day or two later, the conversation's forgotten. Are you in two minds? You're pulled one way and you're pulled another way. It's a lovely illustration in the Old Testament. Remember how Elijah said to the people, 1 Kings 18, he said, how long will you waver between two opinions? Are you here this morning and you're wavering between two opinions? Maybe there's people in your family and they're believers. They've come to know the Lord Jesus and you know that they're praying for you. You know that they would love for nothing more than that you would give your life to Christ and come and repent and believe the good news. And you're pulled and you're torn. How long, I say to you this morning, will you waver between two opinions? And as Elijah said in that old story, if God is God, serve him. And I say to you this morning, if the Lord Jesus has risen from the dead, serve him and follow him. And then there's the dying thief. Follow me as I read these verses. Listen carefully. It says, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you're under the same sentence. We're punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. There were two criminals on either side of Jesus. Now listen carefully to this. One was saved and one was lost. And it was the famous Bishop Ryle who said this. One thief was saved that no sinner might despair, and one was lost that no sinner might presume. Are you presuming this morning? Are you presuming that all will be well with your soul? There's a whole lot of people presuming in this day and age in which we live. It seems that we live in an age where hardly anybody seems to really take God seriously, but everybody's going to heaven, apparently. Even people who don't believe in God apparently now are going to heaven, we read in the newspapers. Doesn't quite make much sense to me. And then those same people will turn to me and say, your message doesn't make much sense. That doesn't make much sense to me at all. But the dying thief, he was awakened. Don't you fear God? He said to the other man. He realized his own sin. We are getting what our deeds deserve, he said. His view of Christ was wonderful. This man has done nothing wrong. This is a special man. This is a unique man. His faith. Sometimes people make faith very complicated, but it's not complicated. What was the faith of that man on the cross beside Jesus? He said, Jesus, remember me. Remember me. Is there someone here this morning and you're thinking, oh, this Christianity business is terribly complicated? No, it's not complicated at all. Jesus, remember me. Will you pray that prayer today with all your heart, truly and sincerely, as you turn from your sinful ways and say, Lord, remember me. And the assurance that he received, today you will be with me in paradise. What a wonderful, what a glorious truth. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Remember this, folks. Salvation is by sheer grace. That is the glory of the message of which I seek to preach and other pastors and ministers seek to preach week by week. It's a message of sheer grace. It's not about works. Think about the dying thief. He had never been to church. He had never been baptized. He had never been to the Lord's table. And yet he was wonderfully saved on that day. On his deathbed, you might say. And yes, there are deathbed conversions. Praise God. But remember this, as one godly Puritan put it, Thomas Brooks. He said, true repentance is never too late, yet late repentance is seldom true. Solemn thing to say, but there was truth in it. Folks, let me ask you this morning, or this afternoon, the dying thief, he was wonderfully saved. At the 11th hour, at 5 minutes to midnight. And then, think about this. He died, and he went to paradise. And folks, let me say this to you this morning. And it may seem a solemn and a sobering thing to say, but there is a point to it. The dying thief died, And you and I will die. There's not one of us in this place this morning who will be able to say and stand up and say, I'll see you at Christmas. Not one of us. This may be my last Easter on this world. I don't know. But I say that sincerely. It may be. I do not know. Nor do you. But here's the glory of the resurrection. That for those who are in Christ, today you will be with me in paradise. Let me show you the cover of a little book I've got here. A little book by a man I actually knew not terribly well, but I remember being at a conference with him, a man called Mark Ashton. And it's called On My Way to Heaven. Mark was the minister of a church in Cambridge for 23 years. But back in 2008, he was diagnosed with cancer. And 15 months later, he was dead. And during those months, he wrote this little book, Facing Death with Christ. And he says this right at the very end. His prayer for those around him. And this was literally, and I'm sharing with you this deliberately today. This was his dying prayer for those around him. And it's this, and I quote it. And it's very short. It is my prayer for my family and friends that my death will be for them all a great strengthening and clarifying of their relationship with Jesus. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Excuse the morbid tone, but folks, I do not end with a morbid tone, because this is Resurrection Sunday. And those who are in Christ one day will depart from this world and be with Christ. This morning, nearly finished. Yes, nearly finished. This morning at 5:30, I came down the street going to travel with Ozzy and a few other creators. Well, there were a couple of hundred nearly there, so not so few. And as I came down the street this morning, there was a couple of young folk coming up the street. And in my innocence, I thought that they were going to the dawn service. But they were just coming from a party. And I did want to enter into a conversation with them, but I'm not sure how well it would have gone, so I decided to leave it. I actually did want to say to them, would you like to come to a dawn service? Because we're going to celebrate something wonderful and glorious, that Jesus is alive. I don't know what you have been celebrating, and it looks like you have been celebrating. But I tell you what, it's not half as glorious as what I'm going to celebrate, because Jesus is alive. And I suspect some of those young people will now be recovering with a bit of a sore head from whatever it was that they were celebrating. But folks, that's the world. How sad. And I'm not being disrespectful to those young people. But young people, hear this. The world offers a whole lot. The lights seem so bright, but it'll just go up like that. It's a bubble that one day will burst. And if you're spared in this world, you'll see that it will burst. But with Christ, there is something far more glorious. And if I can say this also today, and you'll understand why I'm saying it, and I say it with a full heart, there are people in this island today, and they're celebrating some Easter rising. Let me say this without being in any way political. I'm celebrating a greater Easter rising today, because Jesus is alive. And that is the Easter rising for the people of Ireland and the people of Ulster. Jesus Christ is alive. Folks, do you believe it? Do you really believe it? If you do believe it, then it will change everything. It will transform the way that you go home today and enjoy your lamb or your chicken or whatever you're going to have. It will transform the way that you go out into this week, and it will transform whatever days and weeks and months and years that the Lord may have for us. If the resurrection is true, and we believe it is, it changes everything. Everything. And I'm going to speak a wee bit tonight about how we need to be a wee bit more bold in speaking to people about the resurrection and the message of Jesus. Sometimes we're a wee bit frozen over at the mouth, and we need to be a bit more bold in inviting people and telling people and sharing with people the message of the Lord Jesus. Let me pray. Father, we thank you today for the glorious Easter rising of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we bless you today, Lord, that the one who died for our sins is alive forevermore. We pray, O God, that we might be excited by this, that we might be moved by it, and Lord, that we might be changed day by day by this glorious message. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen.